Well, we've got to talk. We've got to talk. Things have got to change. Things have got to change. Are you familiar with the idea or the experience of intervention? You know about intervention? Maybe some of you have seen a TV show called Intervention. A guy that I know who once pastored in one of our Minnesota Baptist churches, and then he went on and pastored at Church of the Open Door, Jeff Van Vonderen, is one of the main interventionists on the program. It's seen weekly, I think, on A&E. I'm not sure, but I had the understanding that Jeff was a creator of intervention, and it's an award-winning program, and it's stirring. Jeff is the author of 6 books: Good News for the Chemically Dependent, Families Where Grace Is in Place. That's in its 14th printing. When God's People Let You Down is another book of his. Another one is Tired of Trying to Measure Up. That's in its 22nd printing. The Subtle Power of Spiritual Abuse. That's in its 18th printing. And Soul Repair, Rebuilding a Spiritual Life. Or maybe you've been in on an intervention. Maybe. An intervention focuses on the need for change. Family members and friends and bosses and coworkers, people who know and care for the addicted, self-destructive person, gather together and strongly confront the one that they care about. They confront him or her with the extreme need they have to change. Often they will say things like this: if you don't agree to go to treatment today, and they'll often say, and your bags are packed and they're just out in the hallway and the plane ticket is here. If you don't agree to do this today, then I can no longer be there for you. You can no longer live in our home. I can no longer keep giving you those checks. I cannot do these kinds of things, because if you don't change, you're going to die. And I don't want that to happen. And as you can imagine, lots of tears flow during an intervention. Change is happening, and change is needed in many realms of life. Politicians speak of the need for change. Our president ran on that idea, and the need for change remains, right? We might think of eating habits, we might think of exercise or the lack thereof, we might think of study habits, we might think of spending habits, we might think of all kinds of things and the need for change. Now I want to recommend a book to all of you. It's an incredible book on change. It's called Switch, and it's a book by two brothers, Chip and Dan Heath. Chip is a professor at the Graduate School of Business at Stanford University. And Dan is senior fellow at Duke University Center, the Center for the Advancement of Social Entrepreneurship. How's that for a title? So one's at Stanford and one's at Duke. Well-educated brothers. I heard the Heath brothers at the Global Leadership Summit a few years ago, and I'm going to visit with some of you. I'm going to bug some of you about the Global Leadership Summit that will be coming up again this August. The subtitle of Switch is How to Change Things When Change is Hard. Most of us think that change is difficult and is a real pain, and oh no, here we go again. Things are changing, or I have to think about change. But sometimes we welcome change. The Heath brothers write, "We know what you're thinking. People resist change. But it's not quite that easy. Babies are born every day to parents who inexplicably welcome the change. Think about the sheer magnitude of that change, they write. Would anyone agree to work for a boss who'd wake you up twice a night screaming for trivial administrative duties? And what if you, every time you wore a new piece of clothing, the boss spit up on it? Yet people don't resist this massive change. They volunteer for it. In our lives, we embrace lots of big changes. Not only babies, but marriage and new homes and new technologies and new job duties. Meanwhile, other behaviors are maddeningly intractable. Smokers keep smoking, and kids grow fatter, and your husband can't ever seem to get his dirty shirts into a hamper. Just kind of waiting for some amens there. So there are hard changes, and there are easy changes. I hope that you'll get switch or find out. It's. I'm going to reread it again for the third or fourth time, and I'm sharing it with my kids, and now I'm sharing it with you. Change is always happening. Change is needed. And today God says to us, things have got to change. God says to us, things have got to change. Colossians 3, 1 through 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Things need to change because we are not where we should be. Or who we should be, maybe we could say. Most of you have heard the reports and you've read the statistics that say that Christians are not really any different than other people in our society. Most of us not only have read the reports and heard that, but we've lived the reality of that. This is from Ron Sider's book titled The Scandal of the Evangelical Conscience: Why Christians Don't Live What They Preach. Let me read from that. Scandalous behavior is rapidly destroying American Christianity. By their daily activity, most Christians, quote, regularly commit treason. With their mouths, they claim that Jesus is Lord, but with their actions, they demonstrate allegiance to money, sex, and self-fulfillment. The findings in numerous national polls conducted by highly respected pollsters like the Gallup Organization and the Barna Group are shocking. Gallup and Barna, laments evangelical theologian Michael Horton, hand us survey after survey demonstrating that evangelical Christians are as likely to embrace lifestyles every bit as hedonistic, materialistic, self-centered, and sexually immoral as the world in general. Divorce is more common among born-again Christians than in the general American population. Only 6% of evangelicals tithe. Let me stop there. That's not saying evangelicals only give 6%. It's saying only 6% of all evangelicals tithe. And the overall percentage that I've seen is down in the 1 or 2% realm. White evangelicals are the most likely people to object to neighbors of another race. Josh McDowell has pointed out that the sexual promiscuity of evangelical youth is only a little less outrageous than that of their non-evangelical peers. It's not surprising that George Barna concludes, every day the church is becoming more like the world it allegedly seeks to change. We have very little time, he believes, to reverse these trends. African Christian and famous mission scholar Professor Laman Sana told Christianity Today recently, and this is what he said, "The cultural captivity of Christianity in the West is nearly complete. And with the religion tamed, it is open season on the West's Christian heritage. I worry about a West without a moral center facing a politically resurgent Islam." And what I'm reading concludes with this paragraph. "Our first concern, of course, must be internal integrity, not external danger. What a tragedy for evangelicals to declare proudly that personal conversion and the new birth in Christ are at the center of their faith, and then to defy biblical moral standards by living almost as sinfully as their pagan neighbors." The Scandal of the Evangelical Conscience by Ron Sider. Within the last couple of weeks, I think, maybe just 2 weeks ago, maybe a little more, a young vocal artist, a Christian, Jefferson Bethke, posted this poem on YouTube. You can go there and check it out. It's on YouTube. It's about the need for change. And it's titled, "Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus." In just a few weeks, this video has been viewed over 18 million times, probably approaching 20 million. In part of it, and we don't have the time today to read the whole thing, and some of you will probably choose to go there and listen to it, but in part of Bethke's poem, he says this, "They can fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat. But it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now, I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look, because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be on to me, acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday's getting faded, acting as if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin, because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him." And he goes on. There's more to it. What we have here is a young man and many viewers who are saying things have got to change. Things have got to change. God's Word says to us, this is where we are. Or it says to us, this is where we've been. And it's often where we continue to struggle. Our earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And I think about that, and I want to study that more, and we should talk more about that. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. It's coming. We see it all around us, don't we? We see the hurt and the destruction and the reaping of that kind of a lifestyle and the displeasure of God. Verse 8, these things such as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. And verse 9 speaks of how we lie to each other. I suppose we lie to each other in many different ways. These are the ways we often live. And things have got to change. Things have got to change. Things need to change because of where we can be. Where we can be. Where God makes it possible for us to be and where He desires that we should be. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. I was thinking, and it's not the first time, I've thought about this often. When I prepare and when I preach, I realize how it's often easier to elaborate on how things are, on our shortcomings, rather than on how things are meant to be. It just comes so much easier. There's so many more illustrations, you know? It's so much easier to talk about that. I suppose that's because we've had so much more experience with our old nature, and we're just starting to grow in this new life. And things are changing, and things need to be changing. So I went on the internet the other day, and I looked up Choir of the Fire, and I saw, we had a little video a couple of weeks ago in here, and I saw the theme, Normal's Not Enough. And I thought about our text for today, and I thought, yeah, that kind of fits, doesn't it? That kind of fits. Normal's not enough. So we've been praying for you guys who went to acquire the fire, and I understand you got home at 2 o'clock this morning, you know, a couple of hours ago. But you want to tell us, we'd like to hear from you a little bit about Choir of the Fire. And I told him, I told John, we'll see what happens, you know. Maybe I'll preach more, maybe not. Maybe these guys will just talk to us. We'll see what happens. Thanks for doing this, you guys.
Good morning. How many do I have here? Do we have everybody except Lexi? 1, 2, 3. Jasmine and Danny aren't here. They're sleeping. And John. So we had 4 more than this along with us. There was 20 of us total down at... Oh, and Brian. Brian Dempsey also was a chaperone with us. So that's 5 more than we have up here. Isn't that fabulous? So, yeah, normal's not enough. Normal's not enough for me, not for these guys, and not for God. And that's what we talked about this weekend. I'm going to have each of you just share your name, your first and your last name, and whether you go to this church or tell us where you're from, just because there's a lot of people here who might not know everybody because nobody sits with their families, right? And then they're just going to share with you something that they got out of the weekend.
Tom Whitty, I'm from here.
And this is how many years have you guys?
One thing that I really got out of it was I did a really good prayer, like, last year. I thought I couldn't get any more closer to God during worship. And then all of a sudden, I could feel Him there, and it was amazing.
My name is Keenan Bousquet. I am 17. I'm from Orangeville, Minnesota. I go to New Life Community Baptist Church. This is my first year at Choir of the Fire. And one memory that I had was during the band called Highland, there was, like, this whole stadium of 5,000 people, and they were all like singing in unison, just praising the Lord, and it was really cool.
I'm Natalie Whitty. I am 15. I go here, and this is my fourth year going to a Garden Fire. And the thing that really touched me is there's a skit this year, and this girl had a hard life, and she was able to minister to people through that. So no matter how hard your life is getting, you can still minister to people, and that was really cool to hear.
I'm Brooke Brown. I'm from here. And I've went to a Choir of the Fire multiple times. I don't remember how many. But I think one of the things that really touched me was there's a speaker. His name is John Green. And he said, you never really know how much you need God until God is all you have left. And it just really made me think about, because he was talking about how we have options. We have the choice to choose what we want to wear and what we want to eat and where we want to go, what we want to do, and what shoes we want to wear. And there's people that all they have is what they're wearing, and all they can do is just stay where they are. And so it really made me think about how we, think about when we're in a hard place in life, when we're like, oh, we really have nothing left, and we're really like down about it. And we really have a lot to be thankful for, even in the lowest times.
I'm Chris Mogard. I'm from Milbank, South Dakota. I go to Living Hope Fellowship Church. And there were a lot of people from Milbank there. And usually when I go to something, it's always me and a lot of people from Minnesota. Then when you go home, it's back to the same old because you have no support. But seeing everybody there from Milbank, as humbled as everyone else there, it's going to help a lot. It's just seeing people that you know every and you see every day going to the Lord and going forward.
My name is Caleb Bousquet, and I'm from Ortonville. This is my first year going to a Choir of the Fire. What I got out of it was the theme was normal's not enough, and I've been trying to live differently and follow Jesus through my whole life, so that really spoke to me that other people are trying to do that too.
My name is Aaron Redmond. I'm from here. This is my second year going to a Choir of the Fire. What I got out of it is you shouldn't let the stuff you wear and other material possessions decide, like, make out who you are. You should let the things you do make out who you are.
Hey, my name is Kelsey Nelson. I go here. And this is my third year going to the Choir of Fire. And anyways, the thing that mostly touched me when we were sitting down there, whatever, and I saw this angel come to me when we were praying, whatever, and he said something to me, and it was really cool.
I'm Anna Redmond, and I'm from here. And the thing that I really thought was really cool is I found out about this thing called Global Expeditions. And when I went grow up, I want to be a missionary, so it was really cool. And they took us into this little area, and they were talking about global expeditions and stuff. And they gave us this brochure, and there's a mission trip down to Texas this year in June, and I'm hoping to go to that, so, yeah.
Hi, I'm Mary Daly. I go here. I like going to a Choir of Fire. It's my first year. I liked the music. It was really cool. It explained God and everything. We got to pray a lot there. And when I went to a Choir of Fire, it really changed me because learning about what people have to go through and everything. So,
yeah. Hi, I'm Josh Whitty. I go to this church. I've gone to ATF a lot of times, five times, and I mean I've gotten a lot of stuff out of it. But this year it wasn't as big of an impact, but it's just such a great refill in my spiritual life, and I'm glad that I can go back every year and get that. And also one thing that I really did like is our pastor, our preacher, he went into like the spiritual stuff of our Christian walk. That was really cool. And like he talked about the order that God went in, and like, you know, how Satan came about, how he why there's sin and all that. And I don't know, that was really cool that I got to go into depth about that. So,
hello, my name is Bryce Patrick Dempsey. I live in Lewisburg, and I attend this church regularly on Sundays. But, yeah, going to a choir fire is awesome. It's like my fourth or fifth year going. And this year was like, I don't know, Chris talked me into going down with him into the crowd and stuff during the Saturday night worship, which is always the best one. Gets everybody super jacked for Jesus, which is totally awesome. And then we, but like, it just got really intense down there and stuff. And like, just being there in the crowd with everybody. And then we started like praying for people and stuff. And it was weird because like, you would sit there. And me and this kid, I don't know, he's Chris's friend or something. We dropped to our knees and stuff, and we're just like praising God and stuff. And I put my hands on somebody and just started praying, and like I didn't know what I was saying and stuff. And then like you'd put your hand on someone else, and your prayer would go in a completely different direction. So like you're like adjusting to like what's going on in these different people's lives and stuff. And it was really cool. And then we got done, and the guy was like, "Okay, just you can go back to your seats now." And then we'll get started with the whole service and stuff for Saturday night. And this girl came up and was crying and stuff. So I gave her a hug and then said a little prayer for her. And then she was like, "Thank you. That was exactly what I needed." And I was like, "Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, me." And then we went and just praised God. It was really sweet. It was awesome.
Hi, I'm Danny Tuckett. I go to this church. Anyways, he couldn't be here, so I'm going to read his testimony thing. The part that caught my eye this year was how we kept coming back to sin. We repent and walk away, but then we come back again and do it again. He said he was like a dog barfing. Then it comes back and sniffs it and starts eating it again. So when we repent, after that we need to ask God to clean the puke so we won't come back and eat it. Also, I love going every year because the music alone almost refills my spiritual cup all by itself. The music always gets me in the mood for Jesus. That's Danny.
Okay, I'm Alicia Kennedy, and this is my third or fourth year going, and I go to this church. And like, what I got out of it most this year was like, the things that are considered cool keep changing, but the real you is like always in style, so you should just be yourself.
I'm John, and this group is just awesome. I mean, I think of these guys and their opportunities to have a spiritual experience. I mean, not just, oh, I feel good. A spiritual, deep, intimate experience. And these guys have felt that. They know it. They've been there. They've experienced intercessory prayer. You know, just everything you can imagine. And, you know, the pictures show a lot of hallway and Eaton and things like that. Yeah, we did that. But most of it was right there, just worship. And it all starts with praise and worship. And normal is not enough. I think there's a couple references to the chicken was delicious, so I better tell this story. It's like telling the punchline of a joke and not telling the rest of the joke. If we look at the way we are in life right now, we're standing here, we're trying to get through this week, this day, whatever. We're not looking at the big picture. If we just stop and step back and look at the whole picture, it's like hearing the whole joke. So I shall tell you the joke now. Three brothers decided to get something nice for their mother. And so one of them decided to get her a new house, or a larger house. And the second one decided to get her a nice new car. And the third one thought, I got a perfect gift. It's going to be a talking parrot that has the entire Bible memorized and can speak every verse. Just whenever you need a verse, boom, the parrot will speak the verse. And so they got together with her then the next time they're all together. And she says, these gifts were wonderful, you guys, but, you know, I really don't need that big of a house. So I think I'm going to get rid of it. And I really don't need this much of a car, so I think I really don't need that. But the chicken was delicious. You know, if we look at the whole picture, where we're at, not about being cool with our friends, not, you know, being cool with our coworkers, or, you know, getting through the day or the week, you know, God created us in his image. You know, he loves us. He loves us so much. We're separated from him by sin, and Jesus died so that we can be with him forever in heaven. And if we look at that context in everything we do and get into a spiritual level and be real with one another, I mean, these kids, I mean, I know our group doesn't have any issues, but all the other groups that were there, it's amazing when you start being open and honest with one another, the stuff that kids are dealing with. I mean, I thought that I had a tough life 25 years ago. It's amazing the pressures these kids have from peers, from culture, a lot of times from us as parents even, and the hurting that they're having. And to be able to know where to go for their strength is awesome. And it's pretty obvious that when you preach the true word of God, I mean, people come. I mean, look at this group. A couple of years ago, the Choir of the Fire was getting to be a smaller and smaller group. And I'm sure you all remember the experience we had a year ago. It was just incredible. The issue we're having this year is that there was so many people there, we're outgrowing the Minneapolis Convention Center, so we're going to have to move it to a larger venue next year. Our bus wasn't enough. Dave helped drive because we needed a bus and a large car to get all those people down. People want this truth, and it's just a blessing. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you guys for being so great, and you know, we just give God all the glory.
We're glad you guys went, and thanks for telling us about it. Yeah, and let's keep praying for our young people. They deserve that. We want to do that. Pray for them and to celebrate with them. You know, I think what I'm going to do is just tell you where I had intended to go with the rest of the message today, very briefly. And then we're going to pick up with it again next Sunday, okay? So things need to change because we're not where we ought to be, right? Things need to change because of where we can be, because of what God makes it possible for us to be and what he desires for us. And we'll talk more about that next Sunday, about where we can be. And then we're also going to talk next Sunday about how is it we can change? How can we change? And if you want to, between now and next week, if you want to look at Colossians 3, today we looked at verses 1 through 11. Next week, I think it's just verses 12, 13, and 14. But next week, we'll talk about how we can change and some of that very positive change that God has in mind for us. We change when we recognize the new reality. We have been raised with Christ, and the old is gone and the new has come. We change when we take appropriate action. Set your minds on things that are above. Put to death some stuff that continues to trouble you. Put it to death, you know. And then we change when we enjoy a deepening and a widening fellowship and a great and a growing unity in Christ. And we get tastes of that here. And I mentioned the new brother that I met the other night and prayed with. That was a beautiful thing. And so we'll talk more about that next week. So how about we just do some changing this week as God leads us, as God speaks to us, be following his lead, be changing in the positive ways he wants us to change, and next week we'll focus on more of that positive stuff. And I'll work really hard not to just focus on the negative stuff of where we've been, but to focus on the positive stuff that the Word of God says we are about and that God desires for us as His children. And we'll not just talk about it. By God's grace, we'll be experiencing it. Okay? So let's pray and we'll be done for today. God, we thank you for the precious gift of life. We thank you for the awesome gift of abundant eternal life. We thank you, God, for your unfailing love. We thank you that you are at work within us. And even though we've got a long way to go, we've come a long way, and we see evidence of your stirring and moving and your love and your power as we look around and even as we look inside. We thank you, God, for what happened at Acquire the Fire. We thank you for our young people who went there. Thank you for those who serve and make it possible. And God, we pray for our kids. We pray for the thousands of others that were there, that as they go home, that you will continue to do your good and perfect work in them. And God, may that be true in all of us today and in the days of the week that lies before us. We thank you that we could be here today. We pray that we will continue to worship you throughout this day, throughout this work, this week, and we look forward to when we can come together again like this and sing your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.